Well, good morning. Good to see you all here this morning, and excited about the next couple weeks, today and next Sunday. We're going to talk about family. I got a lot of it. And blessed to have children and to have a good family, have good son-in-laws and good future son-in-laws and good future grandchildren, all that stuff that comes along with that. I keep planting that notion, so hopefully people are taking notes that need to be taking notes. Don't want to point anybody out. But I'm thankful for family. I approached Pastor Mike a little while back and said I'm burdened for our families in our church, in our communities. And when I first started thinking about this, I had a twofold notion in my mind, was the role of family in the church and the church's role to families. I wanted to speak about the family's role in the church, and I wanted Pastor to speak from the pastoral perspective of the church's role in family and what the church's responsibility is to families. And while we will endeavor to do that today and next week, when I started thinking about family, I realized that 2 weeks will just introduce the notion that there is no way possible that you can talk about the importance of family in just 4 sessions, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. And so I am sure that we will revisit this over the course of the coming months and years. We'll revisit this together as leaders in the church, as the church board, as the pastoral team here, as the education department here. We believe in family. We believe in your family. Or we would not be here this morning. Very familiar passage of scripture. I'm sure that all of us can quote it, but to give historical context, Moses has passed. Joshua has taken the leadership role of leading the children of Israel, leading God's people from their time in exile to the Canaan land. You remember that they were given promised land. God promised them a place of enormous wealth and a place of enormous you remember the story about the grapes being so big that 2 men had to carry grapevines. And that was the promise, the land of milk and honey, a land that they were going to be given because of their obedience or due to their obedience. But we know that there was a lot of circumstances that happened. Life happened and the enemy got in there, and there was disobedience, and there was murmuring, and there was complaining, which led to wandering in the desert for 40 years, and led to captivity, and led to battles and wars and all these things. And Joshua, at the end of the book of Joshua, just prior to the book of Judges, is giving an account, kind of giving a history lesson to his children and his grandchildren there at a time of his life is coming to an end. And he presents a challenge to the people of Israel. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, if you'll stand as we read this verse of scripture today. If you have the King James or the NIV, it will probably be very similar to this. I read and use the Holman Christian Standard Bible, and it uses some more specific titles. In my title here today, or the name, it will say Yahweh. In your King James, it'll say the Lord or will say your God. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Joshua is ending the time of his life, and he's looking over his descendants, the people that are going to become the predecessors of that nation. And he says, but if it doesn't please you to worship Yahweh, choose for yourself today the one that you will worship, whether it be the gods, little g, gods of your father's worship before the Euphrates River, or the gods, little g, gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my family, in your version it will probably say, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Mine says, me, we will worship Yahweh. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that you have given us this morning. I don't take these good people's time lightly, Lord. They have come today to worship and to listen to your word, and I pray that you will help me speak clearly. Lord, bring to understanding the words that you have for us today, the challenge that is presented before us on this notion of choosing who we're going to serve and to be fully and wholly committed to serve you. And we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Look at the person next to you and say, you look fine today. Reciprocate. Tell them back. Say, you look fine also. Or at least thank you. You're probably sitting with family. Or they're here somewhere doing something. Mine's home watching this morning. She was under the weather this morning and totally understand. And she's, I'm sure, watching on Facebook today. But family. What is family? Family has been defined as this: the fundamental institution of society that was ordained by God. The fundamental institution of society ordained by God. Now, I want to begin today by saying, giving a disclaimer. I do realize that we live in 2022. I realize that things look different today as family than what looked 20 years ago, 30, 40, even 50 years ago. And I understand. And so I want to say with all honesty and with all sincerity this morning, the things that we talk about are inclusive as to you as a family, as you know family. But I also know that God wrote in His words what His purpose, what His idea was for family. And so what I say today and what we discuss in the coming couple of services is inclusive for all of us, no matter what your family looks like. I love you and I care about you and I want your family to succeed and I want your family to go to heaven. And I want you to take as much as your family with you as you possibly can. But we also need to look at some things today that are in God's Word. We know that as we look back in Genesis chapter 1, in chapter 2, that God gives us the definition of what a family looks like. We know that God created. We believe that in the beginning, we can quote that, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and He gave us all the things that we have to look at. The beautiful flowers. I'm looking at that fake flower. I mean, it's silk. I didn't mean fake. It's silk. I don't think anybody watered these flowers today. But, you know, it's an portrait. It's an example of God's beauty. We do have some live ones. You go outside today, this beautiful spring day, and probably if you're really, really, really quiet in the deep, deep woods, you can probably hear some mushrooms popping up if you know where to look. And God created and He gave us the birds and He gave us the fish in the sea, and we love to catch them and we love to eat them, and He gave us all these things, and He made us, He made man to have dominion over all of that. This is our place. God designed marriage in Genesis chapter 2. He said, He gave man the challenge of doing all this stuff. And I don't want to over-humorize it, or I don't want to over-dramatize it, but I can just imagine in my mind, this is the way it plays out in my mind. God's looking down here and He's watching Adam do all these things. And probably about the second or third day, Adam can't even get his socks, you know, to match. God looks at him and scratches his head and says, you know, he really needs some help. He really needs somebody. He just needs somebody. And so He made the woman from Adam and gave Adam the best thing that man could ever ask for, a wife. And God designed that, and He made that process between a man and between a woman. He had that. Marriage is given to us, and it's shown to us that you hear the minister say it when he's marrying someone, that the woman leaves her family, that the man leaves his family, and they become one and they start their family. And, you know, you see it all the time, you know, dads will say, you know, oh, I'm not losing a daughter, I'm gaining a son. Or mamas will say, well, I'm not losing my baby, I'm gaining a son. No, I'm sorry, you're losing them. They gone. Now, you have influence. And if they call me and ask me for advice, I'll give them advice. But I make a conscious effort as a dad to just let them run. And see what happens. I can't control them. I can give them advice. And man, if they call for advice, Pastor Mike, hey Dad, what do you think? Oh, well, I'm glad you asked. Here's what I think. But until they ask, I just keep my opinions to myself. Clayton didn't marry me and Jill. He married my daughter. And that's their life to figure out. And that's hard. That's tough. Because I know. I'm not going to say anything about my mother-in-law. I love my mother-in-law. I'm going to keep on moving. But God designed that. He wanted it to be that way. And God gave them an authority structure. He said, I want you to be in charge. I want you to name these animals, and I want you to be in charge and have all of this. And we know that then in Genesis chapter 3 that Satan comes, the deceiver, and the fall of man, and we're going to get into that later. We also know, and we see in Ephesians chapter 5, we see Ephesians chapter 5 verses 22 through 32. Read that in your time. And it shows us the comparison of marriage to Christ loving the church. And the beautiful picture that is there, and it says that as a husband loves his wife, Christ loves the church, that He gave His life. Marriage is a covenant. It's a covenant agreement. Some say a contractual agreement. You go to the courthouse and you get your marriage license, and the minister will sign those licenses. You say your vows to one another and you make that covenant. I heard a lady say one time, just describing their marriage, and they had been married for quite some time, and someone asked them, says, you know, what's the secret of your marriage? And she said, divorce was never an option. Murder was, but not divorce. And thankfully they had survived their marriage of all those years. But marriage is a covenant. We live in a society when as easily destroyed as ripping up the paper and throwing it to the side. And it breaks God's heart, and it breaks my heart to see that. And I know that it causes so much turmoil. Again, today, if you've experienced that, may God give you peace in your soul. And today is a new day and a day to reconcile and to move forward. But God commissioned and He blessed humanity in the Bible, in the first few verses, the first few chapters of the Bible. And He said, I want you to be fruitful and to multiply. Now, I know families that have taken that to the extreme. God bless them for that. But when God speaks, He speaks in a systematic way. When you read the Bible, when you look in the Bible, God is very orderly. And when He does something, it's either precursing something, something is either about to happen, or He is doing something as a result. God is very planned oriented. He does things very orderly. When He says, if you do this, I will do this, you can bank on it. There's places through Scripture, and in Scripture, when He says, be fruitful and multiply, it's because of a specific reason. And I did not ever think about that until just a few weeks ago. And someone was sharing, and I was listening to them as they were sharing about the concept of being fruitful and multiplying. He is speaking in the order of His creation. I believe that He is speaking first to the man. And then He's speaking to the woman. And the reason why I believe that is because He's speaking to the man, be fruitful. And I know, once again, we live in a different time. We live in a different situation. And in some households, it takes multiple incomes in order to make the household work. I understand that. I get that. But God's initial design before things fell apart, God's initial design was for men to be fruitful. Men were to be the providers. They were to be the protectors. They were to be that person to bring. And here's what emphasized that and what I heard this man say. This preacher was talking about this, and it just struck me how this was laid out. He said to the men, be fruitful. To the women, multiply. And he illustrated it this way. Man, you bring a woman flour and eggs and sugar. She will multiply that, make you a cake. You bring her a protein, a starch. She'll make you a meal and it will be good. He went on to illustrate it. I think we're all adults in here. Most of us, he went on to illustrate it. He said, you bring her seed, she will bring you, multiply that, and bring you a child. And then he said this. He said, if you bring her grief and sorrow, she will multiply it and make your life miserable. PG this. Make your life miserable. And that is so true. Men, what are we as men bringing into our home for our wives to work with? Some of you is looking at me kind of weird because I know that you're single. It still applies. It still applies. You can find ways to nurture others through mentoring, through discipleship. Parenting is not just a blood contract between two people and their children, but you can have a you can have a role in rearing children. And Mike will talk about that probably more in the coming times. But God commissioned and He blessed humanity with that charge to be fruitful and multiply. And His parents were required to provide. We're required to protect. We are required to teach our children. Deuteronomy chapter 11 verse 19 is an interesting passage of scripture, and it talks about when you rise up, as you walk, when you lie down, continually teaching your children. And that's where those who maybe your children are growing and now you're in the grandchildren era, or maybe you're an auntie or an uncle, and you can invest in those children's lives and teach them. As parents, we provide, we protect, we teach, and we pray. And as men, it is most important that we fight for our families. That we fight the enemy for our families. That we, so many parents, and I'm going to say some things that's going to probably not stick too well with some folks, but I'm going to tell you, you are a parent. I am a parent to my children long before I am a friend to my children. Because there's going to be days that they hate me. But that's all right. Because I have their best interest at heart. And because everyone else is doing it, because everyone else is, you know, well, you know, I've heard this, you know, well, you know, Billy's doing it. If you're Billy, I'm sorry, Billy, but whoever. He's doing it. Why can't I do it? And then the response is, well, Billy jumped off the bridge. Would you jump off the bridge? Well, you know what? That's no. If you say no, stick with it. If you say yes, stick with it. Family, it's important. Our families are under attack. How many remember June Cleaver? Leave It to Beaver. There was a time in our society when entertainment portrayed family in a positive light. And I'm a big boy. I can handle myself if I have to. Okay? I'm not worried about that. I don't struggle with who I am. I don't struggle with being a guy. But manhood is under attack. Being a woman is under attack. It's working both ways. I'm thankful that in our school systems in Martin County, for the most part, that we still have educators who have morals, stand behind the principles that they have. And I'm thankful for that, that we've had educators. But our society now is pushing things on our kids in school that should never be pushed on our children. There are social pressures that are being pushed on our kids through video apps and things for doing challenges. And it's amazing to me how someone will post a challenge, do this. I mean, it can be some of the dumbest stuff. I remember when the ice bucket challenge was a thing. Remember that? And everybody was, you know, either jumping in a cold pool in the middle of winter. I was a dummy and I did it. Got sick as a dog. I got so sick. I got pneumonia. Because everybody was doing it. They were videoing it, you know, and we were supposed to be doing it for some kind of a cause or whatever, you know. But the social pressures, you know. Somebody says, this is your new challenge. Do this challenge. And 3 million people doing the challenge. There's pressure everywhere. Our families are under attack. through entertainment, through music, degrading men, degrading women, degrading relationships, television shows, even the commercials are getting to the point. You can't even hardly watch a television show without the commercials depicting things that aren't biblical truth. And it's a sad place that we're at. But I want you to think about this for a minute. If Satan was brazen enough to steal this world, and by the way, he is the principality in the heirs of this world. This world is dominated by evil influence. If he is brazen enough to take over a world that does not belong to him, but is God's creation, and let me add, will one day be redeemed back in God's rightful place, what makes you think that he won't take your family? Every single day that we live, our families are under attack. Every breath you take, there is a battle being waged for your family. And men, women, moms, dads, aunts, uncles, church members, we must fight for our families. But fighting gets dirty. But it's time that we stand for our children, stand in the gap, pray for them, intercede for them, beg God to move for them, pray protection over them. Used to hear that so many times as a kid, praying a hedge of protection. Have you seen the meme? I was going to have Eli play it today and I didn't have time to get it to him. But it's a little meme and it shows this, it's animated and it's said when mom prayed a hedge of protection around you, and it's this great big dog chasing this little bitty dog. And there's a row of hedges, a shrubbery right there. And the little dog jumps over the top and the big dog runs right into it. And the caption is when mama prayed a hedge of protection over you as a child. And that is true. I'm thankful for praying moms. I'm thankful for praying dads, praying grandmas who stood up and prayed for their children. It's time that we fight. We have to stand against the enemy. We have to stand against his strongholds. We have to be protective about what comes into our environment that our children are in. What are they seeing? What are they engaging in? What are they being involved in? What are their activities? And it will be unpopular. And they'll probably not like you, but that's all right. I would rather have them not like me for a while than to lose their soul over it. It's time that we stand up and suit up for battle. We're given instructions in Ephesians about putting on the whole armor of God. And it's time that we get ourselves prepared and go to battle for our families. It's time that we resist. We know how and learn how and teach our children how to resist the enemy's attacks. And above all else, we have to be alert. We have to be vigilant. We have to know. Finally, this morning, as we wind down, if that's possible, we have to be committed to our church. We have to have our families. We need to be committed to our church, to this church, to a church, to religious, Christian teaching and principles. Why is it important to be committed to a church? Well, these are a few of the things that come to my mind this morning. First of all, there is strength in numbers. When you look around this morning, I can honestly say this, standing here looking around at our congregation this morning, we are blessed with wonderful people. Take a look around you. There is not one person in this house today that is wants your family to fail. There is not one person in here. I guarantee it 100%. There's not one person in here that looks at you and says, man, I hope they bomb. It's not the case. Everyone in here is for you. There's strength in numbers. Why else is it important to be committed to the local church? For peer accountability. It's important that we hold each other accountable. Now, there's a slight difference in holding someone accountable and being all up in their business. Okay? So learn the difference. Learn the difference. Because there is a difference. It can come off sometimes as annoying. You can know how to do that and not be just obnoxious with it. But holding each other accountable. How are you doing? How are things going with you? How are your kids doing? Is there something that I can help you pray about? Is there something that we can share with? And that goes into the next part. Being committed to the local church is important because of shared experiences. There are things that Don has experienced in his life that I'm sure can probably speak to some of us. There are things that Ann has dealt with in her life that can speak to others. Clayton, right on, all of us have experienced things in our life, and when we come together and we realize that we're walking this journey together, that we're not in this alone, but that we have brothers and sisters that are around us, that love us, that care about us, and that are walking together this journey of life, raising children, being involved in local churches, being involved in each other's lives, that we can build on those shared experiences. And lastly, it's important to be committed to a local church because there is opportunity to serve. There is so much opportunity. The opportunities are unlimited to serve your local church. It seems like that we've had in the announcements for months, maybe as long as we've been coming here, there's always the need for an extra teacher or for someone to take a class or to get involved and to mow the grass, which reminds me, I've got to sign up for that because I need to come mow the grass, to clean the sanctuary once a week, to drive a bus on Wednesday night and pick up kids, to do all the things that it takes to sweep the sanctuary, to sing special songs, to do all those things. There is unlimited opportunity to serve. And the thing that always gets me, you know, when you talk about, you know, hey, you know, would you be interested? Well, I'm just not capable. That is a load of malarkey. You are way more capable than what you realize. Not going to pick on her very much, just a little bit. When Terry Kerr stood up here a while ago, and if you're a guitar player, it may have just sounded pretty to you. And it did. And she was picking out those notes in that first time she sang that through. I don't know if you noticed it or not. Terry hasn't been publicly playing for all that long. I've been playing music for a long time, and I would not even begin to attempt to pick note by note the melodious tone that she was playing this morning. Did you pick up on it? Did you hear it? And then when she asked us to sing, she went into a strum. You noticed the difference that was there? And I remember a couple Memorial Days ago, maybe the last one or a couple of them ago, and we set up out here underneath a tent on a hot, hot day and melted in the evening sun. And man, it was hot. And Terry had her guitar, and she was wondering if we would make sure that it was in tune before she played. And she's standing before us this morning, picking out the most beautiful melody that there was. Don't tell me that you're not capable of serving. It's important that we as families engage our children in the work of the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve. My hope and my prayer this morning is like Joshua, we will say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Stand with us today. Lana, would you come just play something? You and Brian, come. I hope that somehow, some way, that our hearts were encouraged this morning to be engaged, not just to our families and being the parents, being what God has called us to be, created us to be, but to also to be involved, be challenged. I'm so thankful that you're here this morning. I'm thankful that you're here and that you brought your family today. It would have been easy for us to just get up and say, man, it's a pretty day. I think I'll just lay out today. Nobody will notice. You would have been missed. You are loved. You are cared for. And this church wants you to succeed. Your pastor wants you to succeed. I know he does. I know he does. This morning, maybe you would just like to just, maybe where you're standing, just recommit in your heart. I am going to strive harder to be to my family and for my family what they need me to be. That's my challenge to myself this morning. It's to be a better husband, to be a better dad, to be an awesome grandpa, maybe even a good father-in-law, and a good servant, working and striving the best that I can in the kingdom of God. We're just going to pause for a minute. If you'd like to pray this morning, maybe there's another need in your life. It doesn't have to be related to that, but we want to give you the opportunity this morning if you want to come, or if you can just want to stand where you're at and just get quiet before God for just a minute and say, God, challenge my heart. Help me to be what you want me to be. Let's sing that chorus. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this on. I'm part of the family of God. One more time. I'm so glad of the family of God. I'm washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel afar. I am part of the family, the family of God. Amen. Well, I'm glad you're a part of my family. And I thank you for welcoming our family these years that we've been here and investing in their lives, and little Eli just coming along behind him, and I know Pastor Mike's going to give us a great word next Sunday as far as the church, what the church and the family is, but I'm going to tell you a little something as a precursor to that. All right. If you see that little rug rat running in the hallway and he's being mean, you have my permission to tell him to behave. All right? There are not very many parents will tell you that. But if he needs to be lined out, you go right on ahead and line his hind end out. All right? You have my permission. That's right. That'll give you something to think about this week. All right? And I'm sure he'll tell me about it. And I'm going to say, what was you doing wrong that you needed to be reminded to behave? Come tonight, dinner and devotions. 6 o'clock. Six o'clock. All right. Dinner and devotions tonight. Come and bring something good to eat. All right.